Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How's your uncle, Paul?
My uncle's fine, why do you ask?
I don't know, you had a little trip yesterday.
I didn't have a trip. I fell down a hole yesterday.
Have you seen the footage back?
I have watched the footage back from both angles.
Yeah. I mean, you're one, you love people falling over. You love to watch fail army videos.
Yeah.
How did it feel to be on the flip reverse of that?
The footage is underwhelming by comparison to how far I felt I'd fallen. I did go down to one knee. It was embarrassing. For those of you who want to know what we're talking about, there's a foot golf video coming out this week. Us versus Toffee TV.
Spoilers, Paul falls down.
Spoilers, Paul falls down. Anyway, welcome to Rev M Radio, everyone. Number 36. We're going to kick off question this week from Briggo HFC on Twitter. He asks us for the best team of players you've seen in real life. That was far too big a question.
Yeah,
I've modified it, as I have a tendency to do on these podcasts, to five-a-side team and players who didn't play for Liverpool, because it's too easy with just Liverpool players.
Yeah. I really struggled with this question, you know.
I had to go back and I had to think about the games I played in, because it galls me. The foot golf. I had to think about the games that are big games that I've been to and remind myself of certain things, because the immediate one is like, did I see Zidane? I didn't see Zidane in the flesh, and I'm gutted about that. And I was thinking about some of the bigger names, and a couple of them have been quite recent, and a few of them are. I wanted to try and be a bit continental with it, because I've seen some good games. So there was a temptation there to kind of go a bit too recent, or it was a tough one. It is a tough question.
To be honest, I nearly got Colin Hendry in mind. I loved him as a centre-back.
Colin Hendry was a top-quality centre-back.
He's not a five-a-side centre-back, though.
No.
I think you need to play football. I think, and he definitely wasn't playing out from the back centre-back.
Yeah, like. I haven't got a centre-back in mind.
No, nor have I.
No. But I did think a bit through that. So I thought back to some of the big European games Liverpool have played in. And I think it's sad. It's sad that it is. I mean, I haven't been to see too many of the European games from that period of, like, 2000 odd.
I'd have loved
onwards.
To have been able to put Del Piero in.
Exactly.
Like, that was my one. Yeah. Like, more than anybody else, I'd love to have been at one of those Juve games.
Because
the Roma games in 2001.
Exactly.
Well, these were great sides.
That was the last season in Liverpool, wasn't it? Before we moved away. So then we played Roma again when we were in uni. But from being in university, and also, like, my dad would give me his season tickets periodically throughout the season, and it was very, very rare I'd get it for European games. Like, the one that stands out, I had to go back and check, was it? We got beat 1-0 by Marseille. Matthew Valbuena scored an absolute pearler. But there's no way I'm putting Matthew Valbuena in that team, and I think Zendon was in that team as the other players that I knew, so that wasn't going to be a good thing. So I've gone for a combination of top quality Premier League and a couple of you know, continental European ones that I've seen. Talk me through your team and where and what game it was that made you put them in.
Okay, David De Gea for Manchester United.
Okay,
I can't remember what game, but I've seen him live a few times. he's just class, mate. He's just absolutely brilliant. Every time he takes the field, especially against Liverpool, he makes big saves in games, doesn't he? So nothing really stands out on that front other than we just don't seem to score against him very often, and he's the reason why. He's my goalkeeper. I had a major struggle on this because I realised that I had basically three centre-forwards in my side.
Yeah, I did that.
So I had a little bit of balance to be had. So I've gone with Patrick Vieira from Arsenal.
Yeah.
Not the Manchester City Patrick Vieira, the Arsenal Patrick Vieira. Just a dominating midfielder, Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody knows just how good he was. So he's going to be my pseudo-defender along with N'Golo Kante.
Okay.
So I've gone for the two of them, and I've had to drop David Villa out of this side to accommodate N'Golo Kante, which I'm a little bit gutted about because I saw David Villa play for Zaragoza against Deportivo, which I've probably spoken about before back in the day. I've then gone for Cristiano Ronaldo when they beat us 3-0.
Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, exactly. When they beat us 3-0 Anfield in the Champions League under Rodgers, he was incredible. I could have picked a few players from that side.
He was so incredible, you give him a standing ovation on camera.
I clapped. I didn't stand. There's a difference.
I'm pretty sure. You must have stood.
The photographs say no.
Really?
Wow.
How do people see you?
I was on the edge of a row. It's just how unlucky I am. You know what I mean? It's the one game I'm on the edge of a friggin' row. Yeah, and I clapped him. I think I was wearing an orange hat.
Was that orange or blue? Either way, you had a hat
on. It was orange.
Yeah.
It was definitely not blue. To be fair, I could have picked this goal from that game. Because he ran the show more than any other player, I think, at the time. Yeah. He wasn't really a starter for them back then, was he? And he was just unbelievable. And then I've gone Thierry Henry for any reasons.
Yeah.
All of the reasons, none of the reasons, just Thierry Henry.
So we share three players in those teams. Then I go for Peter Schmeichel in goal.
Oh.
He was the best goalkeeper the Premier League's ever seen. And go back, funnily enough, the first time I saw him in the flesh was in the 3-3 draw. So, you know, not necessarily the best example.
One.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just absolutely incredible. Patrick Vieira and Thierry Henry from going back to 2001 here at Arsenal as well. Cristiano Ronaldo, aforementioned for that game when he was just the bollocks. And Pavel Nedved.
Ooh.
Played for the Czech Republic versus Russia in Euro 96 of those random games of footy. So, like, again, Berger and Poborski and all that were class. That Czech team was boss. But, yeah, it was a bit of a cheat. But it was, I was desperate to try and find the European great that I'd witnessed with my own two eyes. And, unfortunately, again, never got to see Messi. But, yeah.
Pavel Nedved's a great show.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
It's a very attack-minded side, by the way. But Patrick Vieira is so energetic.
Well, that's why I kind of went for Kante with Vieira, because I thought, you know, he can be that link between defence and attack.
Yeah.
Because he's just as good going forwards as he is defending.
Absolutely.
Two amazing sides. I'm gutted I couldn't get David Vieira into that side, but the David Vieira that I saw wasn't in the same league as what he became and Thierry Henry.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Okay,
brilliant question.
Brilliant question, yeah. Brilliant seed of a question, Brigo HFC. Okay, yeah, you can tweet us in, actually, at the Redmen TV with your, let's call it your real-life five-a-side team.
Non-Liverpool players.
Tweet it in to the Redmen TV with no Liverpool
players.
We've got 280 characters these days, Chris. You've got to make the most of it. At C122_H122. Just a couple of brief ones before we get into the main topic this week, actually. It says, are you excited, nervous, or not asked about the third round draw?
Excited and nervous, both of those two. Mm-hmm. The reaction from Everton fans online makes me more nervous because they just seem to think that they're out straight away. Did it on the news show this morning, on Tuesday morning, if you listen to this on another day. I went through some of the Twitter comments from Evertonians and stuff, and they're like, well, we're out, I didn't want a cup run anyway, and all that type of stuff. But it's cliche. It's Everton. Yeah. It's a cup game. We've not beaten them at Anfield in an FA Cup game ever in our history. It's going to be a tough game, and it's coming at the end of a real tough run of fixtures. So I'm already nervous and I'm already excited for it.
Yeah, my response to it will be dictated by how the game at the weekend goes. I want to see. I mean, it'll be a slightly fuller measure Sam Allardyce team by the time the FA Cup rolls around. Not by much, but at least he'll add a few games under his belt by then, under his heavily stressed belt. I'm so sorry, there's no need for that.
I am excited right now. Excited. I just, you know me, I see the stories in football, and I feel that that FA Cup has a story vibe to it, that you could see us getting a win at the weekend against them and everyone expecting us to absolutely trounce them in the FA Cup, and Liverpool fans already starting to plan the route to Wembley, as it were, and them doing something, because they also need that. The FA Cup thing that you mentioned about the, you know, I mean, it's four meetings in like 112 years or whatever, isn't it, in the FA Cup. That might be that little, you know, that little glimmer of hope, that little shining light shining into like an underground prison of despair where Evertonians live when it comes to Liverpool, Everton, Anfield derbies. Yeah,
and they'll be looking at two chances to get a win at Anfield.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just thinking it might be one of them where I could see it being the story of the round. Does it go through? Is it another draw? Does it go back to Goodison Park?
We've already joked before the draw about how we're going to be playing a replay in the FA Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Horrible. So, I saw someone say put a bid in for Gosling and get him back for the game.
Right, great. We move on. From Reddit, I noticed this week, there's a lad on there who's Velocispider. He says, I've not watched a single game since the defeat against Tottenham. Since then, we are pretty decent. Should I avoid breaking the magic?
Yes.
It's about that, isn't it? It's a bad world that we live in, where we're actively encouraging a Liverpool fan not to watch games anymore.
Apparently, there's the audio commentary on the Liverpool website for the game.
So we'll continue with that one. Yeah, just keep
which
listening.
Is bad in itself, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. It's well, it is and it isn't. I can see why there's an issue if... Like the BBC haven't offered to take commentary of any of the Champions League games up to this point, have they? And then they're coming back to Liverpool have turned it down. Now, it wouldn't shock me if it had been built into, you know, if the plans are in place for LFC TV or whatever to have it for all this time, and then all of a sudden someone comes in and goes, well, can we have that? You'd be like,
okay, yeah, I've never considered
nah,
it like that.
Nah, you're all right, we've got it sorted. It's just inevitably, I think the irony of BBC Five Live tweeting a story about it. You know what I mean? Like,
putting the BBC News behind it.
Now, don't get me wrong, Chris. I'm not defending the lack of access that gives to Liverpool fans. Because look, if there is an opportunity to get that game out to as many people as possible, then sure, why not? You don't want people not having access to it. I mean, for a start, radio coverage, really. Apologies if you're on a long distance car journey or something, a kickoff time during the match, pull over into a service station, watch the game on your phone like a normal person. I'm not having that, but I do. It paints Liverpool in a really bad light because it makes them look like it's a money grabbing thing. And again, for me, that's right to a certain extent. If I took my Liverpool hat off and looked at it from a business perspective, I would look at it like, there's very few opportunities for them to sell those subscriptions, because let's be honest, the channel's a bit crap, isn't it? No, but it is, you know. Talking as an owner of a crap Liverpool channel, I understand that they need reasons to get people on board. So I get it from a business sense. I think it's a bit shady given an opportunity to get it to a bigger audience as presented it to them.
It's a massive game. It's a massive game, and here's the thing, you know, you can look at it, you can see it from both sides from a business point of view, but what have BT Sport been doing? They've been putting the Champions League final on for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's your big win.
Yeah.
You know, you've got an opportunity to hit as many people as possible and get a win out of it.
But here's the thing, where the big win for Liverpool is not to give it to Five Live, it's to make it free on the Liverpool website.
Exactly, so do that.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what they should have done.
I totally agree with that. I mean, that's the easy win there, because they've got now as well, in terms of a positive PR move, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you say, I mean, it's going to cost, all of a sudden, it's actually going to cost you a load of money. But if you then chalk that full of adverts to the subscription service as well, so you're kind of using it as a free advertising tool for yourself, and you've already told, you basically, Five Live and The Echo and all, have already done all your publicity for you by calling your knobheads for saying that you've got it. So everyone knows now who wants to know that the game is only on the Liverpool website. I think genius there, Chris. I think if only they had our marketing nous. Yeah. We'd have just done nothing with it.
No, probably, yeah. Kind of like the FA Cup draw.
Yeah, Speaking as the Liverpool channel that didn't remember that the FA Cup draw was on.
I didn't know it was on. It was completely different.
I knew it was coming up. That's why we have Ross, Chris. That's why we have Ross. And what a great job Ross is doing. But just to get back to it, there's a few people giving him some encouragement on Reddit and saying, listen, mate, just get on with it. I saw someone say, YWA, you'll never watch again. it's tough, isn't it? Because you do get sucked into, we did this in 13-14, yeah. You know, like the weekly, what superstitions keeping you going at the moment, or what superstitions keeping Liverpool going. Just to clarify on all this, I know we all have these little idiosyncrasies. One person, I don't even know where he is, choosing not to watch a football match has... I'm going to go out on a limb. There might be a fractional, like a 0.000000, but it's so infinitesimal that it's easy for me to say it has zero impact. So if you want to watch Liverpool, just watch.
Okay, I'll remind you of that next time I see something ridiculous about a player and they score.
But
it doesn't happen. It doesn't affect things.
No.
I will remind you.
You just don't say it live on the internet, and then you're fine. Like it's not me that's got a problem with it.
Odds with it.
No, it's fine.
You do, haven't you? You do. Because you can sit there and go, why? Or you roll your eyes.
Yeah, we all do. That's what superstitions are for. Should I turn the clock to 1, 2, 3, 4 and see what happens?
No.
So, let's move on to this week's topic. We touched on this at the end of the Final Word show, Chris. Mm. Those of you who haven't listened to that, you can do. It's up on theredmentv.com. As ever, we do that review show of every Liverpool game in depth and detail. Bit of calm ahead compared to some of the instant stuff that we do immediately after the match. So yeah, every single Liverpool game on the website, go and subscribe. It's very, very good. But anyway, we're going to continue that conversation, as it were. Just to contextualise it though, Chris, and with the notion of Liverpool finding form. I was going to go with like forms temporary, classes permanent, but it didn't work. Since we got annihilated by Tottenham Hotspur, we've played 8 games of football in all competitions, 6 wins, 2 draws, scored 22 goals, only conceded 6, and had 4 clean sheets plus Brighton, which I'm counting as an honorary clean sheet. Isn't that really good?
It's lovely, and to think, even throughout that spell, we had the 2 draws only a week ago.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like the world was falling in on us. Mm. And it just wasn't at all, and it never does. And here's the thing. It doesn't, Paul. No. It never does. You know, Sevilla, 3-0 draw. The manner of the draw is what's affected people's positivity after that. Chelsea, the fact, again, that we've conceded a late goal is the reason that people are worried about that and stuff. But you can't complain about these kind of results, because 6 wins and 2 draws, that's definitely top 4 form. And, you know, we've done it. And Klopp's always kind of done this at Liverpool. We always seem to bounce back, apart from January last season.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, when we've had a whooping, we've bounced back. Yeah. And that's what this Liverpool side can do. And we still haven't got our full-strength side.
Yeah.
We still haven't got our full-strength squad available to us. I've never seen a Liverpool side rotate so much and play so well.
Yeah.
Or get the results in the manner that they've done it either. Yeah. Even going back to Rafa Benitez, you're not talking 5-6 changes, formation changes every 3 days. There's a formation. I was going to say week.
Yeah.
It's every 3 days.
Yeah.
And we've just been brilliant, and we're not losing anything.
Yeah.
From a defensive standpoint, we didn't have much to lose, but from an attacking standpoint, we had loads to lose, and we've not been.
Yeah.
We've just been smashing teams for fun. We can say it was only Brighton, but you mentioned it on the Final Word. That's the first time they conceded 3 in a game.
Yeah.
And we beat them by 5 goals to 1.
Yeah, definitely the first they got 5 as well on top of. Yeah, no, exactly.
Sevilla was the same. How many times has Sevilla had 3 scored against
exactly.
them?
Exactly. So, you know, and this is the point, isn't it? Is that it's if we'd gotten those results against Sevilla and Chelsea, look, no doubt we'd be high. We'd be in a stronger position in the table. We'd have had Champions League last 16 qualification secured already, and that would have been great. But the point is, at this time of the season, form is the most important thing. Now, you know, you can gain your points in different ways, but I would rather us... I think it's an easier situation, and it's far more tolerable to get the points by having draws than it is to win more and lose the occasional game, because I think losses...
hurt everything.
Exactly. Losses damage you. If you want to... Successful teams don't lose football matches. Successful teams find a way to get that. Another problem, of course, is that as you mentioned, it's those two draws, and they still open the question marks, because that's not, if you come back to draw those games, then my God, we are flying. There are no criticisms of any of this sort whatsoever. But the good thing is now we've had a little bit of time. We've had a couple of good wins since. We can do what we will do come the end of the season, is that you're just looking at the points and you're just looking at the goals scored and the goals conceded. You don't so much look at the manner in which those games happen. And as you say, very much feels like that Liverpool are on the up. You know, I talked about this on the final word about how we're just like a giant monolithic structure. You know, we've built ourselves up. We're big. We've got this massive squad now, and we're dangerous, but you need to get it moving. And it's not the same. I think when you've got 11 players or 12 players who are dead good, I think it's dead easy to hit the ground and you can run and you can burn yourself out there brightly, like we saw last season to some extent. To get 17 or 18 players up and running, yeah, it takes a lot longer. And I don't think I've seen this before. I can't remember. You may be looking at like 2001. The treble season was the last time we had a squad of this depth that was all capable of coming in and impacting footy matches. It's just, again, great. It's a completely different Liverpool, and it's great.
It is. And, you know, they're not just established professionals that are doing this either. We're still blood and young players. You know, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, you've got Joe Gomez in this side. We found minutes for Marco Grujic,
yeah,
at the weekend. And he had two touches of the ball, like, but we found minutes for him. Dom Solanke's got a start.
Yeah.
This isn't a Liverpool side with 23 first team experience 25-year-olds. This is a Liverpool side who is blood and young players, keeping the experienced players, dropping them in and out of the side at will,
yeah,
and keeping goals in the side, and all while managing a ridiculous defence who've got injury issues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's mad because, funnily enough, I was looking into that the Marseille game I mentioned earlier, and Rafa got criticised at the end of it for rotation. I think Andre Voronin played that game, and that's the difference. And now, okay, you could say we've got a Clavan, who's probably the closest thing to that in our squad, but we don't have, like, we don't have young lads who are just going, throwing them in and going, it'll be okay. And we don't have 30-something-year-olds who are never will and never have been good enough to play in the Liverpool team that we're just making the numbers up with. Exactly what you say there. The players that we're blooding into this team are like Dom Solanke, you know, under-19s or whatever, World Cup winner in the summer. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, England international. You're finding ways to put out and keep Emre Can in the side, full German international. You know, you're rotating in James Milner, who is that example of it. But
Paul, we're rotating our goalkeepers. Liverpool have never done this. We've played a shit goalkeeper in the League Cup. That's as much a rotation. We're throwing our goalkeeper in for the biggest games of the season, and he'll probably play tomorrow night against Spartak.
Yeah.
That should tell you that he's doing more than Rafa ever did in a rotation sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true, isn't it?
And here's the thing. Joe Gomez or Trent, who's your favourite?
Gomez.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, if I'd said to you, Glenn Johnson or the backup right back, it was Glenn Johnson all day. You know what I mean? We've never had that. We've got Andrew Robertson. People are clamouring for him.
People are desperate. People are desperate with Reynolds the Robbo
boss.
Yeah.
Look at that. Two at right back, two at left back, two goalkeepers that are doing sound. Hendo or Chan's a constant argument between Liverpool fans for different reasons. Your midfielders, I just want to see Lallana play. And I really shouldn't, because we're playing well.
Yeah.
And the four front three, take your pick. We're going to score goals.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And that's what the beauty of where it is and how it shouldn't be underestimated that what we had to. I just think the game plan that we've gone into this season with just looks, right now, it looks spot on.
Well, I said to you 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I can't remember what show it was on, but the first year Klopp came in was the October, and he didn't know what was going on in the December. He didn't have time to breathe. Last year, I think he's got it completely and utterly wrong with regards to not having a winter break, playing so many games. Yeah. You saw the tail off in January. This year, he's still learning, and he's put a different plan in place.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is Klopp, who people criticise for not being able to change, has changed to suit the Premier League.
Yeah.
Now, Pep Guardiola's changed as well. He's doing a lot more rotation stuff. And these top managers who are in this league are all changing for the league. And as you know, the longer Klopp stays here, the more accustomed they'll be and the more he'll know. You can just see it this season. He's been amazing, absolutely incredible at the rotation side of things.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's the Pep Guardiola one's interesting because it wouldn't have shocked me. Again, you can't do this because you can do this for every team, of course, apart from City, who's the only points they've dropped was against Everton. But by and large,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Watford game, right at the start of the season, these are all if, buts and maybes, I think we were set up. We struggled in that early part of the season to get ourselves up and running, to get ourselves up to this speed. Now, I think it's borne out now because, as I say, we've gotten this momentum, we're on a good roll. But it's not inconceivable that a couple of points here and there earlier on, which we might have been able to achieve with either slightly better luck with injuries to the squad, Phil Coutinho being less of a bell end.
The Sadio Mane red card.
Exactly. You know, the Watford and the Burnley results early on in the season, they're the difference between us being title contenders.
Also, look back at it now. Those results at the start of the season hurt us. Watford and Burnley are doing pretty all right. Yeah. These aren't bad sides that we do against early on in the season, absolutely. But you forget that, don't you? Yeah. It's not easy to look back to the first couple of games and go, hang on, Watford have just beaten everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple of points behind us and stuff. Exactly. And just to go back a point to what you said before about Rafa Benitez getting shit basically for rotating. This is an English media thing, and it's every football fan in England. For some reason, when rotation is made, we blame the rotation and the manager for the loss.
Yeah.
Now, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they've got to. Because when things aren't going right and your side's tired, you blame the manager for not rotating. How do you win? It's the same as zonal marking.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I was going to say exactly that. Zonal marking and rotation are the two, like, it's a soccer Saturday crew.
Exactly.
And again, we've seen it in the coming months. It'll be, you know, throw XG in there as well. It's these football concepts that these are men that your dad doesn't, you know what I mean, doesn't understand, doesn't care about. Just to clarify, not my dad, not your dad, but, you know, the genetic, your dad doesn't get it because they're absolutely right. Rogue, well, in my day, we never even had substitutes. Yeah, well, you know what, in your day, they used fucking leeches to treat broken legs. Good on you. Nowadays, it's a bit different, and for better or for worse, and you're right, the rotation thing, it's baffling how there's still people who criticise it, and it's because the people who've got that argument are not prepared to look into it anymore.
Well, they're not prepared for a long-term argument. They're prepared for then and there. Whereas, you know, if we don't rotate and we win our games now, but we lose all our January games again, You didn't blame Klopp for a lack of rotation in November. Yeah. This is what managers of sports teams have to do. They have to balance the entire season. It's not fucking play the next game.
Yeah.
As much as they'll tell you, you've got to focus on the next game, they're not. Yeah. The players might be, but the managers are focusing on how many games down the line, and that's what they're looking at. And if you want to have a go at Klopp's rotation, look at it over a 12-game period or a 15-game period. Look at it for the entire season if you dare.
And
then see what happens.
No, but are you gonna populate a 24-hour news cycle? Listen, Jimmy Loudmouth in the pub, the little one, in the gang of mates who always says things really short and sharp and gets a big laugh, he hates rotation. He's not prepared to listen to the argument because he once said, oh, rotation's for foreigners, and all his mates laughed. And now he's sang because he knows it's true. But it's been proven the best managers gain success by rotation. There are rare examples to it, which unfortunately all that ever does is strengthen the resolves of the idiots. Fucking Claudio Ranieri and Leicester, you pricks, and ruined it for everyone.
The tinker man who tinkered no more.
God, all right. But the, you know, like Alex Ferguson was amongst the pioneers of the radical amount of changes. You know, he was the one who had the record for the most games without fielding a same 11 back to back, etc.
But Paul, when he used to rotate Ryan Giggs, he was wrapping him in cotton wool. Wasn't rotation.
Oh no,
because you can't look at it like he's keeping it safe. It was fucking rotation, by the way. It's exactly what Liverpool are doing with Trent Alexander-Arnold. Yeah. Klopp's rotating.
Yeah, no,
Alex was keeping him in cotton wool. Fuck off.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible, isn't it? And as you say, you did that amazing video with Lucas on Zonal Marking a few weeks ago. It just shows you what the benefits are to it. Because it's I love stuff like that, because again, you see the old school pundits and it's like, well, why are they doing that? When someone asks me that, they don't want an answer.
They just want you to go, I know, lad. It's ridiculous.
It was again. I get it. It comes up a lot on the podcast. Like, my father-in-law does stuff like that when he asks questions to my wife about education because she's a teacher. Because he's read something in the Times or the Mail or whatever about how we're falling behind.
It's the Mail.
To be fair, to his credit, even he recognises how dangerous a newspaper that is. Like, but it's the. You've read something about how the Chinese are overtaking us in education. Well, why do we do that in education? And she sits down and explains, like, didn't want an answer, just wants you to go, oh, I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? That's all people are looking for in those situations. Oh, I know, zonal marking. Zonal marking's for pricks, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Bring on Brexit. It's terrible. It does wind me up no end. But it's
on
great
the plus
to
side,
see.
You can get a shift in the media stuff, and right now it's Spurs and not us.
Well, yeah, 100%, and that is the absolute beauty of the moment. And I say the beauty because I have had, it's been tough. I've not enjoyed this run of form as much as I should have done, because there's been moments throughout it, particularly the last couple of games, following the narrative again of the defence being shit, raised its ugly head after Sevilla and Chelsea, that. the media spotlight is just sweeping up and down the country, and it's on like a rotation. You're like on a game show. They go, "Who's it gonna pick?" Yeah, Random rotator. Yeah.
We did
and
a video. I like that.
It's like a and it's got Arsene Wenger's face. It's got Klopp's face, Pochettino, and it's just got it's rotating around and what lighting up. Who's it gonna stop on? Ding, 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 ding. This week it's Pochettino. And then we go, oh, Pochettino, what's he doing? What's he going on?
He's still not won anything.
He couldn't have won anything since the last time they played badly. It's fucking December. This is in Scotland. If you want to win something by December, go manage in Scotland. Keep up the good work, Brendan. But this is the thing, isn't it? Part of me is just so relieved, but it's like... It's like when you see someone getting called out for something on Twitter that you know you're guilty of, and you can, like, well, I can pipe up and defend them.
Nah.
But they're not. No one's having a go at me about this. And so part of me is so relieved that it's not Liverpool under the spotlight, because we've had it a bit too much this season. Now, of course, it's passed around. You know, Mourinho had a bit of it after the draw with us. Wenger's, it's constant almost with Wenger, but it's eased off on him in recent weeks. Conte had it a little bit at the start of the season. Pep's got it from last season, and it's always going to happen, because the two teams that are currently in fifth and sixth, are in crisis.
Yeah,
at any given
point. They have to be.
Sure,
that's the way that the media works, isn't it? It's just driving clicks, but. there should be a focus on the teams. There should be a focus on Tottenham, for example, but the focus shouldn't be Pochettino's shit. It should be this team's in a bit of bad form. Yeah. What's he going to do to fix it? Because that Tottenham side, brilliant. But we saw that.
But that's the thing. This is the problem with the way the media coverage is, isn't it? Is that it doesn't drive emotion to talk about that. No one doesn't. Where is the media going? Where has it gone wrong for Spurs? And they try that, but they ask fucking Paul Merson. He goes, well, I tell you what, Jeff, it's because they didn't strengthen enough in the summer. It's bullshit, basically. Yeah, great, they didn't. But there's a way. There will be a way of getting them out of a run of form with what they've got, because that's what good managers do and that's what good teams do. But they seem unwilling to focus on that kind of stuff, because the problem with it, Chris, is that, and this is the problem with media in general, this is why Red Men exists, is that we don't have time to look at all these other clubs. The only people who've got time to do that are the fans of their own clubs. Yeah. Now, of course, what then that leads to is you've got, and we've been fine largely, but we had a little bit of it when Liverpool were under a bit of stick, is that people then presume that you're then being super deluded, biasedly positive. Because the way it's been talked about in the media is these are important. You're talking about how it could be fine and how to work it out. No, it's because we're the only ones who actually pay enough attention to the football club to see where things are going right or where things could be put right. So I do feel some empathy for Spurs fans at the moment because it's shit, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with
it. It's not all
Tottenham.
Shit.
No, there's nothing wrong
it's
with
it. It's not
Tottenham.
All shit. No. Look at the Champions League group. No, that'll tell you how good a side they are. Yeah. You know, the fact that they've gone and beaten Dortmund, the fact that they've gone and topped that group with Madrid in, they're not shit. They're struggling rotating their squad at the moment. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And we'll see, I believe, over the next couple of weeks, without the Champions League travel, that they'll just get back to what they do, and that's steamroller teams, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And they'll do that, and they will be, and we'll forget about this, and it'll be Arsenal's turn, and then it'll be Liverpool's turn, it'll be something else. There's always mitigating circumstances.
Yeah.
There's always, for example, there's always an injury that can be picked up that nobody from outside the clubs realise how important that player was, for example, you know what I mean? That red card for Henderson in 13-14, no one was talking about the reason. It was the slip.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fucking slip.
Yeah.
It was how integral Henderson was in that season that cost us towards the end of it. But the media doesn't see that because it doesn't have to, and doesn't have the time to
it's
focus
not sexy
on it.
Enough. You can't meme that. You can't meme, oh, look, there's no Jordan Henderson. Try winning a game without... No, it doesn't work. There's too many words on a picture. I think this Spurs thing is fascinating, like, because... And maybe... there's probably some parallels with Liverpool in this regard, because what the basic analysis is, well, they should have a bigger squad, they should have spent more money, they should have done this and that, they should have bought better. Spurs aren't set up to do that.
No,
that's not Spurs, and they have punched above their weight now for a number of years, and that's where the credit for Pochettino goes, because look, he's had them competitive without the budget of Man City and Man United. And the thing is, Man City and Man United fans and Arsenal fans don't want to hear and entertain that, but it's true. You know, we complain about Liverpool's net spend. They're in a positive net spend under Pochettino. They've made money since he's come in from the transfer market, and he's managed to do a fantastic job with them. Now there's a possibility that just runs out, that inevitably the cream rises to the top, doesn't it? You know, and they might fall out of that. Now, is the solution to the basic analysis of that will be, well, just go out and buy better, go out and spend loads of place. But that's the knife edge that you exist on when you're in that bracket, of which I think Liverpool fall. I think I think we're at the top end of that bracket, and I think we're primed to transition. Not to be a Man City, of course, but to be slightly more, you know, if we do spend a bit more money on players.
That's the difficulty, isn't it? I mean, you know, we all know how good Leicester were, but they punched above the weight, and you can't do that consistently for a long period without the investment. It just doesn't happen. You can have cycles, and a team can have a cycle, and a manager can have a cycle, and a team can get to where they're going to be. And, you know, Tottenham finished second, I think, the last 2 years in the Premier League, but ultimately Man United are spending more on wages than them. They're the top spenders in the league. Manchester City are second. Chelsea... third, maybe, Arsenal fourth, us fifth. Now, at some point, that will probably even out and Tottenham will need to spend. I think we're in a position whereby we've got a plan to get us there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get there, the plan has to change.
Yeah.
Because I don't think consistently you can be there forever without changing that plan.
Exactly. I think you're dead right. And you can see it kind of like it's happened to Dortmund a bit. They're not... they were never going to be the dominant superpower in that league because they're not.
It's just so hard to do. Yeah. I mean, a one-off's fine. You can have those perfect storms, can't you, where the team and everything just goes right for you. But to consistently punch above your weight, if it was that easy, everyone would do it that way.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think for Liverpool's perspective in this, and maybe Spurs, you kind of got to hold on and hope that it crumbles a bit at the top, because that's the problem with what those other teams have got, is the volatility of what they've got because of the pressure with the money that brings along with it. I mean, for fuck's sake, look at Chelsea, Jesus Christ. You know, they're changing the manager every 18 months on average. Man United, you know, it wouldn't shock me if something went to the war with Mourinho in the next 18 months as well. Pep Guardiola's probably fine because Man City are quite level-headed when it comes to stuff.
You know they're level-headed because they put all of his coaching staff in 3 years before they got Guardiola. So their plans aren't fucking for now. They're for how many years down the line.
Yeah, exactly. And again, Spurs might, you know, and Arsenal, that's going to something. Wenger can't go on forever, so something's going to change there. So, you know, there's just got to, for Spurs and obviously for us to some extent, you kind of just got to make sure you're up there and competitive and solid to capitalise on that, because we were unlucky that last time we just didn't have a big enough reputation. We'd fallen a little bit from the top to capitalise on the 13-14 stuff, and maybe it was part of Rodgers and not being a big enough name to attract big names or what have you. But also we were a one season wonder to some extent. We weren't a sensible, stable proposition necessarily for players to come in. Exactly. And that's where our fight is in the short term is to be there. But
and I'm sorry, the reason I mention Arsenal is Sanchez.
Yeah,
that and that's probably the reason. Apart from the fact that it's London,
yeah,
you've got this upstart of a football team that may get in the Champions League again, but you've got a guaranteed one there in Arsenal, and that's probably why we lost out on a lot of players.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting stuff, certainly. But yeah, is the thing, try not to mock and laugh at Spurs too much, because let's be honest, the spotlight will doubtless swing back to us at some point during this season, and we'll be wondering why it's all going, where it all feels like it's going wrong again. But it's just the nature of the way things are going at the moment. Lastly on that, the rotation thing, I think is just really great, is that we can rotation only doesn't get talked about when you're successful, and this is the best we've been at rotating so far. So it's interesting that it's not being discussed as much, because hey, listen, there's nothing to criticise when you're winning matches. A few quick ones to round us up then this week. Wuba JK, will Salah continue with Reds, or he will move to Madrid in winter transfers?
He will continue with Reds.
I would go out on a limb right here, right now on this podcast, and if anyone's watching the video version on the RedmenTV.com, which you should be, I'm saying it right now, Liverpool will not sell Mohamed Salah this winter.
Yep.
100%. I'll stake me life on it. Fine. Ben Fisher_Ben, you fall in radioactive waste. Now you have to choose between seeing and not hearing the footy, or hearing and not seeing the footy.
Seeing and not hearing.
Yeah, I would go with that. I mean, sound's a big thing, of course, but yeah, it's a visual thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? And again, radio coverage. I've just told you, I'm not a big fan of radio coverage. I mean,
it's a ridiculous question, to be fair. There's just only one answer, Ben. You need to come back with a better question in the future. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, bring
absolutely terrible.
Up your game, Ben.
And to be fair, like, if anybody's heard me sing on the Instagram stories, you could probably hazard a guess that my hearing's not great anyway, because I can't hold the tune.
Yeah,
and therefore I can't hear the tune.
Sure. To be fair, and in terms of fitting with this podcast, it probably would have been more like, you've fallen radio or active waste, and you've now got 10 cocks. Would you rather have 10 cocks and Liverpool win the league, or no cocks and Liverpool not win the league?
I'd have the 10 cocks and Liverpool win the league.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
That was a terrible question, too.
But yeah, more of those. More and better. Thanks very much for listening to Greville Radio this week. As ever, please do leave 5-star ratings wherever you discover this podcast. If you want more from Red Men Radio, you can. 3 exclusive.
Hang on. If your podcast is rated out of 10, though, don't leave it 5. Leave it at 10.
Oh, if there's 10 stars? Dear God. Yeah, God, yeah, please. Top
full beans all the time.
Full beans all the time. Yeah, if you want more, there's
three full length shows, and we do the instant match reaction podcast, which is normally around 15 minutes just after each game finishes on the redmentv.com. It's free for the first month. Perfect time to sign up now leading up to Christmas.
And if you want to see Paul fall in a hole, check back on the YouTube channel. It'll be the Foot Golf video.
Couldn't have said it better. God damn it. Cheers. Walk on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.